Catholics believe in purgatory because it is a biblical, Christ-made doctrine, and the church has taught it since the beginning, and today I will show you five scriptures that point to purgatory. If you would like to support this channel in any way, please do so through Buy Me a Coffee. Let me first start by saying that the scriptures that I'm about to show you, despite some of them me finding them on my own, I've later come to learn that the church fathers all knew about them and talked about them openly, and there are even more scriptures that speak about purgatory. So one of the things that this first teaches us is that we need a body that teaches and defines what the scriptures mean, specifically the church. The scriptures cannot and do not define themselves. You need someone to guide you. Hence, Jesus has given Peter the keys, which means he drives the car and he takes it where he wants to as the Holy Spirit leads him. Peter and the Pope have been given authority to have the final say on the interpretation of Scripture. This is extremely important. We cannot interpret Scripture on our own. And all of these interpretations have been the same from the church fathers. I mean the early ones, St. Augustine, St. John Chrysostom, and many others. And I will share in future videos how the church fathers spoke about purgatory. It's been there since the beginning. Let's get right into this. The first one, Matthew 5, 21 through 26. After each scripture, I'll point out distinctions that Jesus makes to prove the point. You have heard that it was said to your ancestors, you shall not kill, and whoever kills will be liable to judgment. But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment, and whoever says to his brother, Raca, will be answerable to the Sanhedrin, and whoever says you fool will be liable to fiery Gehenna. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there recall that your brother has anything against you, leave your gift there at the altar, go first and be reconciled with your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Settle with your opponent quickly while on the way to court, otherwise your opponent will hand you over to the judge, and the judge will hand you over to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Amen, I say to you, you will not be released until you have paid the last penny. Jesus there makes a distinction between Gehenna, which he openly uses the word, and prison, which he uses a different word. Notice that he does not say that you will be thrown into Gehenna for this thing that you have not taken care of. You will be thrown into prison. Purgatory is the Catholic word that Catholics use to describe a spiritual place that Jesus refers to as prison. So if you want to call purgatory prison so that it could be more biblical, go right ahead. The tradition has chosen to name this prison that Jesus speaks about, and he speaks about later, actually Peter does. The church has chosen to call it purgatory because that's what happens in this prison. You pay the last penny through purgation. In the next scripture, you will see how Jesus goes and further makes distinctions between different types of disciples and their judgments. Let's listen. This is from Luke 12:43 and following. Blessed is that servant whom his master on arrival finds doing so, doing the master's will. Truly I say to you, he will put him in charge of all of his property. So that's the first distinction, someone that will be put in charge of the master's property, or as we would say, go to heaven. But if that servant says to himself, my master is delayed in coming, and begins to beat the men servants and the maid servants to eat and drink and get drunk, then that servant's master will come on an unexpected day and at an unknown hour and will punish him severely and assign him a place with the unfaithful. A second category, those assigned to the place of the unfaithful. Where is the place of the unfaithful? What we would say is hell. Now here come two more distinctions. That servant who knew his master's will but did not make preparations nor act in accord with his will, shall be beaten severely, and the servant who was ignorant of his master's will but acted in a way deserving of a severe beating shall be beaten only lightly. Severe beating, light beating. What Catholics would say, severe purgatory, light purgatory. Notice that these two are not considered unfaithful. They are rather servants that failed to complete fully the will of the master. That second servant you describe, you heard how the behaviors were described. He began getting drunk. He began beating people. He went way out of line. He went way beyond just knowing the master's will and ignoring it or being ignorant of it and not doing it. He went way in the direction of evil. So we see that Jesus makes four distinctions: those going to heaven, those going to hell, those going to a severe purgatory, those going to a light purgatory, right there in Luke 12:43. Now we will go to a scripture that speaks a little bit about the coming age. Matthew 12:32-36. And whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven either in this age or in the age to come. The implication is that there can be forgiveness in this age or in the age to come. It's not just implied, it's stated absolutely clearly. And this has been the unchanging tradition of the fathers up until now, that scripture points to the future age. How are sins forgiven in the future age? This is where the church interpretation really matters, in purgatory. That's where those sins that can be forgiven in the future age are finished being purged, because we failed to do it here. So we failed to do that here, but are yet not deserving of the full condemnation of hell. And then the next verse, 36, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will render an account for every careless word they speak. What does render an account mean in terms of financial terms? It means this, that it's rendered the debt that you owe to the person that you're paying. So for instance, if you go to your tax person and they render you an account of how much you owe the IRS, now you have to pay that. The presumption is that if we didn't pay it ahead of time, now we have to pay it. That's exactly the case with taxes. If you don't prepay your taxes, come next April 15th, you owe the IRS and you have to pay that. And now you might be paying penalties. This analogy holds true spiritually speaking. If we don't settle our account here with the blood of Jesus and the sacraments and prayer and all the things that Jesus gives us, when we get to the judgment, it's not just going to be wiped away, as the Protestants say. They are dead wrong on that. Not even close to being right. Dead wrong. It's a huge error. You will have to render an account. Amen, I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny, because God is perfect. He says, be ye therefore perfect, as my heavenly Father is perfect. Luke 16, we get an extended depiction of what someone is like who is in purgatory. Notice traits that he does not have, which I will point out. This is about Lazarus. The rich man also died and was buried. This is a parable that Jesus gives. And from the netherworld, where he was in torment, he raised his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. So this was a rich man, and Lazarus was in the bosom of Abraham. And he cried out, Father Abraham, have pity on me. Send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am suffering torment in these flames. Abraham replied, my child, remember that you received what was good during your lifetime, while Lazarus likewise received what was bad. But now he is comforted here, whereas you are tormented. Moreover, between us and you, a great chasm is established to prevent anyone from crossing who might wish to go from your side, from our side to yours, or from your side to ours, he said. Then I beg you, Father, send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they too come to this place of torment. But Abraham replied, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them. He said, oh no, Father Abraham, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent. So notice this. This rich man is in the netherworld, in a place of torment, yet he does not have ill will. He does not hate. Abraham calls him my child. That's important. And he wants the good of his brothers that are still alive. People in hell, I dare to say, you wouldn't call them children of God in the same sense, because they have fully rejected God. They hate, do not care about anyone else. They do not care how we're doing. They are fully cemented in the evil they have chosen. This person is not in hell. They are somewhere else. And let me suggest to you that somewhere else is a prison where we have to pay the last penny, what the Catholic Church calls purgatory. Right there in Luke 16:22, Jesus uses this parable that he clearly refers to purgatory. Why would he make a parable about a place that does not exist? And if you look at his behavior and are honest, this is not someone who is in hell. He is clearly in purgatory. Last verse, 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also suffered for sins once, the righteous for the sake of the unrighteous, that he might lead you to God. Put to death in the flesh, he was also brought to life in the spirit. In it, he also went to preach to the spirits in prison, to preach to the spirits in prison. What's a spiritual prison? What the church has called and calls purgatory. Since Jesus himself, who created his doctrine, there has existed a spiritual prison, a temporary one, where spirits go to pay off any debt that they have left to pay to God that they did not pay off while here on earth. So they were not fully turned against God. They were not fully evil. They had accepted Jesus to some degree if they were born after the time of Christ, but they were not yet fully in Christ. They had not yet fully died in him, only partially. They still owed God something. Jesus, the church teaching, on Holy Saturday, the day after Good Friday, went to the netherworld to preach to those that were not going to be condemned, but that there was a chance for them to repent. This, he preached to the spirits in prison to give them a chance to accept them to go to heaven. This middle place still exists. Now it functions a little bit differently after the death and resurrection of Jesus, and the church teaches about it. It's called purgatory. That those who die in a state of friendship with God, but are still not yet fully purified, must go to purgatory before they can be admitted to the beatitude of heaven. This is what the catechism, almost straightly quoted from the catechism, what it says. My friends, purgatory is biblical, and it is a Jesus-invented doctrine. God bless you, and I will see you in the next one.